Time now to head over to, of course, our program we bring you every evening, every Sunday evening around this time. And on deck this evening, we've got Dr. Kia Lewis. She has her guests with her for this edition of the Better Health Radio Show. So without any further ado, let me hop on over and say a pleasant evening to Dr. Lewis. Good evening, Doc.
Hi, good evening, Gregson. How are you?
Yeah, I've been better, but I'm with you, so thank God for that.
Yes, we're always glad that you're here with us, Gregson, and I hope that you feel better, whatever is happening, yeah?
Thank you kindly.
Yes, I want to wish a warm welcome, as always, to our listeners here on the Better Health Radio Show, a show which is aimed at raising public awareness of common health issues that affect us all. As always, it is my pleasure to be your host this evening, and we are very much looking forward to having an engaging and interactive session with you this evening. So at this time, I want to take the opportunity to remind you that you can contact us with your questions and comments. You can call us at 434-1790, or you can send your WhatsApp messages to 266-4862. I'm going to repeat those numbers, 434-1790, or you can WhatsApp us at 266-4862. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you this evening. Now, last week, we started off giving general advice about, you know, leading a healthy lifestyle. We know a lot of people like to set new resolutions or goals, and that goes over to the area of health at the beginning of the year. And we promised you last week, we spoke about all types of things, exercise, drinking water, getting rest, but we didn't touch a lot on diet because we had this special program prepared for you. So this evening, as promised, we are going to be looking at the whole aspect of good nutrition. And we are absolutely privileged to have two registered dietitians here with us as guests. They are both members of the newly formed organization, Dietitians of Barbados. I want to welcome warmly Ms. Shade Haynes and Ms. Michelle Carrington. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. So I'm going to be telling you a little bit about them before we start, and then we will start chatting with them. So Shade Haynes has been a registered dietitian for the past 13 years. She completed both her bachelor's degree in nutritional science and master's in human nutrition at McGill University. She also completed her dietetic internship at various healthcare and educational institutions in Montreal and earned and maintains her registered dietitian credential with the Commission on Dietetic Registration in the USA. Shade is passionate about the role of nutrition in the prevention and management of disease and to support recovery from illness. She's a strong advocate for the role of the registered dietitian in the healthcare team, a very important role indeed. She currently serves as the president of the Dietitians of Barbados, and she's the Barbados country representative for the international affiliate of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. She is also a member of the American Society for Parenteral and Enteral Nutrition. We want again to welcome you warmly, Shadi. Now, Ms. Carrington, Michelle Carrington, she has been a registered dietitian for the past 18 years. She completed her undergraduate degree in food and nutrition from Ryerson University, now the Toronto Metropolitan University in Toronto. And she also completed a master's in human nutrition from McGill University. Michelle has worked experience in the area of clinical settings, administering medical nutrition therapy to diverse patient populations, food and nutrition administration, as well as in academia. She is currently the vice president of the Dietitians of Barbados and a member of the College of Dietitians of Ontario and the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. She is very passionate about nutrition and is committed to helping solve the many nutritional related challenges which threaten many persons. So as you can hear, we have two very, very qualified ladies here to speak with us this evening on nutrition. Ms. Haynes, I'm gonna start with you because I think it's important for the public to know just a little bit more about your organization, the Dietitians of Barbados. Can you tell us a little bit about your organization?
Sure. Thanks, Kia. So first of all, I just want to say good evening to all the listeners and also to thank you and Starcom Network for having us here this evening on the program. So Dietitians of Barbados was launched on the 15th of July, 2022. So we're just about 6 months old. And really, it's a professional association for dietitians, as well as students who are aspiring to become dietitians. So individuals who are enrolled in a human nutrition and dietetics program. Our vision is simply for the health and well-being of all through nutrition. And that just encapsulates everything that we stand for and everything that we hope to do. Right now, we've been working on a few things. Of course, we're here online with you this evening. So we really want to raise awareness about our association, about the profession, and the value of nutrition and dietetics, and kind of have the public be able to access in a centralized location, get answers to questions like, what is a dietitian really? If you want to become a dietitian, or if they want someone to engage to give a talk or something like that, that there's a central location that we can come to be able to find us and get that level of support. We've also been collaborating with policymakers and various stakeholders, and we have plans for activities such as continued professional education. We're preparing for National Nutrition Month, which will be in March, and really trying to be a resource to anyone out there who needs some sort of input from dietitians and dietetics.
Okay, great. I think that provides a great summary. And I hope that our listeners realize all the resources that are available in your organization and they make good use of it. So you brought up something when you were introducing the organization. You said that you hope that people would understand what a registered dietitian is, what you do. So can you tell us a little bit about that? What really is a registered dietitian? And sometimes people don't understand the importance of your role in the medical team. So could you tell us what you do?
Sure. Michelle is going to take that one.
All right, go ahead, Michelle.
Well, good evening to all, and thank you for having us. And I'm wishing all Barbadians a healthy and prosperous 2023. All right, so basically what we do is we essentially take that complexity out of the eating behavior. And I know that, you know, from hearing what persons' interactions and so forth, people are a bit wary. They keep asking the question, what should I eat? You know, and they're confused. So we are here to really provide you with and take that science, because nutrition is a science, take the science of food and nutrition and make it into easy, practical, realistic information so that, you know, persons can meet their needs or their goals. I heard you talk about goals last week, if people have specific nutrition goals. And whatever they are, still enjoy food, because the reality is food is made to be enjoyed, not demonized. So we are here to help to take that complexity out and allow persons to meet their needs, meet their goals, but still enjoy the pleasure of food.
I think that our listeners will be very happy to hear that, because sometimes when people think of a dietitian, they think, oh my gosh, they're going to put me on broccoli and carrots and all the food going to taste like cardboard. But it's good that there's an emphasis on enjoying food in a healthy way. So with that, I want to jump straight into the discussion, because we do want to leave our listeners with a lot of takeaways, things that they can apply to their lives. So when we're talking about good nutrition or a balanced diet, why is that even important? Why are we having this conversation this evening?
Okay, I'll take that one as well. Well, generally, it is obvious, I would say. We are hearing a lot about chronic diseases, you know, having acute diseases. And what we know is that there is a direct link between food and health and food and disease. So that's why it's so important to be able to understand why it's important to have a healthful diet. That mere fact that there's that disease, that food can either contribute to disease, and on the other hand, food can also help to manage disease, it can help to prevent disease, it can help to cure disease. That is why it's important that you speak about planning a healthful diet or getting healthful foods in.
Agree. A big part of the NCD management is diet, and a big part of maintaining good health is diet. So this is an important discussion. So I think people get overwhelmed, like you said, when we're looking at selecting healthy foods, right? They get overwhelmed or they look at all the cliches. We hear a lot about food groups, but sometimes people don't know that they're actually Caribbean food groups. So can you tell us a little bit about those six Caribbean food groups and the importance of those?
Yes, absolutely. So in the Caribbean, we have six food groups. These are staples, fruits, vegetables, legumes, foods from animals, and fats and oils. And I wanted to point out that legumes are included as a food group, separate and distinct from other types of fougays or pyramids that we may have seen in the past. So in the Caribbean, our staples refer to our starchy ground provisions, bread, cereals, biscuits, corn will fit there. So any food that's starchy, that's going to provide the bulk of your energy. Those are our staple foods. I suspect we all know what fruits are. And I suspect we all know what vegetables are. But the order which I've mentioned these food groups to are in order of proportional quantities that you should have in your diet. Our legumes include our peas and beans. So we're thinking about lentils and split peas and chickpeas. Foods from animals would be our meat, poultry, and fish, as well as eggs and dairy. All those fit into one group in the Caribbean. And fats and oils would be things like our avocado, Jamaican ackee, our fatty fruits, as well as like oil, and things of that nature. Nuts can kind of fit in there as well, as they're a high fat item, but they can also fit in legumes as well, just because of the nature of how they grow. So they kind of fall into two areas, but you will tend to see them in fats and oils because of the nutrient profile.
Good. So we talked about those food groups, but I guess what we really want to get to is what is the importance of these food groups? And I'm asking that because there are quite a few diets and eating programs out there. People are encouraged to cut out, you know, certain food groups altogether. And but for a lot of people, there's not that level of variety in their diet. So I want you to talk to me a bit about the importance of the Caribbean food groups and having a good variety in your diet.
Okay.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Okay. So generally, the whole purpose of food groups, you can't get your nutrients or other components, which we call phytochemicals, which are also very important, from just one food. So the reason for the different food groups is so that you can be provided with a variety of different nutrients. We need a lot of different nutrients in order for our bodies to function. They have specific roles within the body. So that whole notion that you hear all the time in terms of the diet planning principles of things like variety is critical because it is important, because what you'll have is that these varying choices, these diverse choices will allow you to have different types of nutrients which are all needed. Some of them work, and a lot of these nutrients, they work synergistically, so they work together. So it's quite important that persons have the foods from the different food groups. All right, so variety is one of the major diet planning principles that we use. Another one that you will hear in terms of diet planning principles, I'll probably skip ahead a little bit, is moderation. That's one that people oftentimes hear and wonder what that really means. And I think that that's important to state as it relates to the concept of moderation. So moderation is really, as it relates to our diet planning principles, is really looking to consume or eat foods that are nutrient dense most of the time. All right. So when we talk about nutrient dense foods, we're talking about foods that tend to have more nutrients versus calories. Calories is the energy you get from food. So it's quite important. So for example, a nutrient-dense food will be, let's say a nutrient-dense breakfast will be a breakfast possibly. You will have some eggs in there. That's just a suggestion. It doesn't mean everybody have to get it. You probably have some fruit with that, and you probably have some sort of starch or staple, like some sort of whole grain bread, versus a nutrient-poor or what we call a calorie-dense food, which would be perhaps a cup of coffee with two donuts, all right? So those principles are extremely important. Michelle,
before you go on, mm-hmm. I really want to stick a pin there because we hear a lot about this term of empty calories. And mm-hmm. I want to emphasize to our listeners the importance of eating foods that are high in nutrients. because there are a couple, you know, programs and fat diets and so on going around where people feel as though a calorie is a calorie. So as long as you are consuming under a certain number of calories a day and you know you're losing weight, that you are healthy. But I want us to really drive home the importance of eating healthily. So making sure that the calories that you do consume are from foods that are nutrient dense. In other words, you don't wake up and have popcorn for breakfast because you have, you know, a calorie goal that you want to reach. But you wake up and you make sure that you have something that is healthy. You don't skip a healthy lunch to have a chocolate bar, right? But you make sure that if you're going to include, you know, your little snacks and so forth, that you are focusing on nutrient dense. Because I really want us to drive that home. So any diet or any plan that is recommended to our listeners that does not include nutrient dense foods, it is something that can potentially be detrimental to them. Would you agree with that?
Okay, totally agree and would emphasize that because, I mean, the evidence has shown that as people shift their food and beverage choices towards more nutrient-dense food selections, one, their diet quality is going to improve. And if you have a high diet quality, that will definitely promote good health and really help to reduce the risk of any related chronic diseases. So absolutely important point.
Agree. And the whole issue of diet is not just about looking good and losing weight, but it's about extending your life and reducing the risk of chronic disease. And if you have a diet that may be lower in calories, but it's high in the wrong type of calories, then you still have those risk factors. So I'm very glad that you brought up that whole issue of nutrient density. We talked about moderation and portion control earlier. I wanted to talk to us a little bit about that. Sometimes we have patients that sit in the chair and they say, well, I only eating fruits and I only eating yams and edibles and so, and they don't understand why I can't lose the weight or why my blood sugar isn't well controlled. And when you ask them, how much are you eating? They say, well, I'm eating about 4 or 5 bananas a day. Or, you know, they're eating a whole yam or something like that. So can you tell us a little bit about that moderation, that portion control?
Right. So in terms of portion control, there are a couple of ways that we can approach it. Of course, we eat from our plates. So a nice way to explain to the average person how to manage your portion control is to imagine or visualize a plate. So this is based on a 9-inch dinner plate. And we divide the plate into half. And then we take one of those halves and divide it again. So you're going to end up with a circle that has one space that is 1/4, a second space that is also 1/4, and a big space that is 1/2. In our big space, we want to put our vegetables. We want to focus on having a variety of vegetables, so at least 2 kinds. We want to vary our colors. So harking back to the earlier point about variety being important, this helps us to get adequacy in terms of the range of nutrients that we need, the range of vitamins that we need. So half of our plate as our vegetables, vary the colors. You want to make sure that you get your greens and your orange and your red vegetables every day. On 1/4 of our plate, we reserve that for your starch. Okay. In terms of our starch, as I mentioned earlier, we have our staples being our dominant source of energy. So that's to provide us sufficient energy, but not too much. And then in the final proportion of our plate, the 1/4, that's where we put our protein. And our protein can either be from an animal source or a plant-based source. And that's what the standard plate can look like for your, what we call food in Barbados. So when it's cooked is when we start to call it food, right? So when we think about our plate, even when it's Sunday lunch, you can do your 1/4, 1/2.
Right, that's very important. Can you tell us, we talked about protein and we said it could either be animal or plant-based. Can you give us some good examples of plant-based proteins? Because they say to people all the time, you don't have to have meat every day. So what are some good examples of plant-based proteins?
Okay, so our plant-based proteins are going to be mainly our legumes or soy. We will also get proteins from nuts as well, or like nut butters. In terms of our legumes, we're talking about the full range. So I mentioned lentils and chickpeas earlier, but you can just go in that aisle of the supermarket and you will see there's so many varieties there that we can choose from. For your legumes, you can get them dried or you can buy them canned. If you get the canned varieties, of course, we're trying to limit our salt intake. So you need to rinse them and drain them well before you use them, and that will decrease about 40% of the salt content. In addition to that, there's soy in terms of products like tofu, for example. So we're talking about soy that isn't so overly processed, right? Because we want to keep our plates with our whole foods as much as possible. And then, as I mentioned earlier, nut butters. So this would be whether it's peanut butter or almond butter, those varieties. Those would be our main sources of plant-based proteins.
Thanks for that. All right. I want to remind our listeners, you have access to two dietitians, not one, but two this evening. So take the opportunity to call in, share your questions, your comments, your concerns. That number is 434-1790. 434-1790, or you can WhatsApp messages to 266-4862. That's 266-4862. We touched on a number of helpful things so far. We talked about portion control, the importance of how your plate is set up, half the plate being vegetables. We know in Barbados and the wider Caribbean, half the plate is usually starch, right? Or even three quarters, and then you have a little bit of meat on the side. So that's a really important switch that people can make. Having half the plate be vegetables, a quarter be a healthy starch, and a quarter be a healthy source of protein. Now, one of these things that can significantly help persons as they are going about trying to live a healthier life, you know, eat better, etc., is planning. We always hear about meal planning. But I want to hear from you as a dietitian. What are some tips that you would give people to assist them with their meal planning?
Okay, so one of the things that we have to consider when we're talking about diet, because it's a gamut of things, really. And just picking up food and putting it in your mouth is not the whole, that is everything associated with diet. One of the things that we need to also touch on is, why do people eat the way they eat? And there's a lot of reasons for that. That is significant, all right? So even before I get into planning, the first thing people need to decide within themselves is, why do they eat the way they eat? And a lot of reasons is that, I mean, convenience is a big one here in Barbados. I mean, we see the outlets where people can go and pick up their foods in a quick manner. And that is so, and that is obviously a way for people to grab something quickly and go. People have busy lifestyles, so convenience is a big one. So we have to take that into consideration. The other thing is that, I mean, there's tons, taste, you know, cultural tradition, that, you know, all these things we have to take into consideration. So once we get that out of the way, then people can start seeing what is important to them and how they can plan around that, because healthful eating should really be around a person, all right? Not what I dictate or what you dictate. It really is about that person, what works for that person, and that can help to satisfy all their needs. Because at the end of the day, we are human beings, and we have lives and we live, and we have to make sure that things work according to what's best for us. Now, the thing I would say is that a good thing is, once we get out of the way, know why you're doing what you're doing, why you're eating, why you're the way you are, then I think planning ahead is a big thing. All right. And you might definitely have to sit and say, well, look, planning ahead, preparing foods, even soliciting support. All right. Because like I said, convenience is a big one. And we see this a lot, especially with the women and so forth. They have busy lives. Most people have busy lives. You might have to ask for help, all right? For someone to help you, a family member, a significant other. You might have to even get the family, the children involved in helping to pre-plan. But one of the big things is that I think is pre-planning and investing the time to plan the diet. Eating healthily is just like any other goal that we aspire to. All right. If you want to buy a car, we have to plan to buy this car. If you want to purchase a house, we got to figure out how we can get this house, how we're going to get the money to buy this house. You know, if you want to study, you got to figure out how we're going to pay for it. So really and truly, people need to understand that the eating behavior will take some sort of investment and planning. And if we understand that and we do that, I think that understanding the way you should, why you're doing what you're doing, and putting that all together, it will give people a little bit more confidence, and also equipping them with the skills, a little bit more confidence to eat a little bit more healthily.
I agree. Well, so what are some of the practical things that people can do? Because some of the things that I share with people sometimes is like, you know, sometimes we go to the supermarket, we have no plan for the supermarket. We pass and we just pick up what we are accustomed picking up. But if you're looking to change the way that you and your family are eating, it's important to know, okay, what are some of the switches or some of the meals that I want to do? If I want to do a meatless day so that we're getting in more legumes, for example, I'm going to need to know that in advance. And I should probably write a shopping list around what I want. If I don't want the high sugar snacks and the high salt snacks for my children, I might want to substitute it for something healthier. What are some of those healthier things? So I often tell people, make sure that you are writing a list before you go to the supermarket, you know? Make sure that you shop and get your fresh things first before you pick up your processed things so that you're filling up the supermarket with those healthier things. What are some other tips we can give persons practically for planning for the week? Because like you said, mothers and fathers and people who have no children, we always have to remember them. They're also busy. They have busy lifestyles as well. And it is about making it easy and convenient, like you said. So how can we help them to meal prep or plan for the week?
Okay, I just wanted to appreciate your comment about writing the shopping list. It definitely starts with your shopping and going in with a plan and sticking to it. So when you do get into the store, you stick to your list. Now, things are a little bit challenging. Sometimes you may go in with a plan. You may plan to buy spinach and there's no spinach. So you may need to recognize that, okay, but there's Chinese cabbage there. So there, you may need to go off your list a little bit, but really once you do have that shopping list written, stick into it. What helps us to stick to our shopping list is things like not shopping hungry. Because when you shop hungry, all bets are off. You know, you're more enticed. Okay. I agree with you in terms of considering getting your fresh produce first. So having an emphasis on getting your fresh produce and your fresh meats and fish or what have you before really diving into those middle aisles in the supermarket. Because as soon as you get into the packaged goods is when you start to see increases in your salt intake and your sugar and your fat intake and the variety of fats that we're trying to limit. In to Michelle's point, in terms of, you know, convenience is very important. So even when you are buying things that are convenient or come in package, being able to make the best choice possible when you do that. So having the canned legumes, that's a convenience. It's easier to pop a tin versus to soak the peas overnight and all that. That takes a lot of planning preparation. And sometimes you just, you know, your life is too busy. But recognizing that if you're buying a canned product, that you can look for one. In terms of our vegetables and our legumes, that we can rinse and drain them, as I said earlier. Products that are more of the grain variety, looking for whole grain versions. So that means reading your nutrition facts label and reading your ingredient list to look for fiber content and to look for that word whole grain in that ingredient list. And other things like an easy way to know that a food is too high in salt or too high in sugar, is that when you get into that ingredient list and you start to read and you see first ingredient, second ingredient, and the third ingredient is salt or some name of sugar, the ingredients list is written in order of what's most in a product by weight to what's least. So if you see certain ingredients like salt or sugar, whether it's brown sugar syrup or some other name for sugar, in that ingredients list, early in that list, in the first three ingredients, you know this product is likely high in this particular nutrient that we will want to limit, and maybe this is not a product for me. Let's look at another one. Okay,
that's an excellent point. I think a lot of people do not know that, but yes, that's an excellent point. Read the ingredients list.
Okay. I would also add to the pre-planning, one of the other strategies that people can possibly use is to cook a couple meals, let's say two or so meals in their free time. And you can, you know, package those meals out. And that can help a lot in terms of time. And if people have time, you can also prepare the night before. Let's say, for example, you want to have a sandwich for the kids for lunch. You might want to make that sandwich the night before. All right, so that you can, you know, you can grab it. So really trying to just do some preparation in advance.
I agree with that. And Michelle, you mentioned support earlier. I think support is so important. Having people who are going to help you prepare meals, but not only that, people who can share healthy recipes. So that when you are ready to write that supermarket list, you actually have ideas of what you need to pick up. For me personally, so many times I see a recipe and I think, oh my goodness, I don't have this in my kitchen, right? And so I end up doing something else. So yes, I think having that support and planning ahead is really, really important. Now, we talked a lot about shopping. We can't talk about shopping for healthy food without, I'm surprised the phone lines haven't gone off if somebody's saying, but you know, eating healthy in Barbados is very expensive, and that's why we are eating the way we are eating. So I want to give you ladies the opportunity to help our listeners. These are hard economic times. How can we eat healthy on a budget?
I think it starts with understanding your particular budget and shopping within your means. If there's a particular vegetable that's out of season and imported, that's going to cost more than something that's grown locally. So as you go through the grocery store and you notice that cucumbers right now, I think, are $2.50 per pound, maybe you're not going to focus so much on buying cucumbers. You're going to think about another vegetable that is maybe $1 a pound instead, because you don't have to eat a specific vegetable every week to be healthy. I mentioned earlier varying the colors that you use. So if carrots are expensive this week, but pumpkin is cheaper, buy the pumpkin. But buy according to what your budget is. Not everyone has the time to run around, but of course, buying from our local farmers, buying from the market, tends to work out cheaper in terms of produce versus from the supermarkets. But being a little bit savvy with the prices. If you don't have to get it and there's another alternative that you can get, then buy the cheaper alternative. You're still going to get the nutrients. So when spinach is up, buy the other green leafy vegetable that's cheaper.
Agreed. Michelle, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the common theme that we hear at the dishes all the time. Eating healthy in Barbados is expensive, and we actually wrote, this is outside of our association, as a team of dietitians from QH, we actually wrote a cookbook to address this. And the truth is that we can understand to some extent, but at the same time, you know, there is ways that you can mitigate this. Now, for example, I would say that the most expensive thing in terms of our ability to eat this variety of food and so forth is typically the food that are our protein sources, so our meats. All right, those are pretty much the main sources, the sources that would tend to be a bit more expensive. And if we had listened to my colleague earlier, Shadi, she was talking about portion control, and I would say put this out to our listeners, where does meat fit in terms of portion control? That fits about a quarter of the plate, all right. And it also fits if you're going to use your hand as another estimation of portion sizes, because that's another method you can use. It fits in with the palm of your hand, all right? So it means as though you don't have to have that much meat. And you also heard about the alternative sources in terms of your legumes that can fit in for proteins as protein sources. So yes, those are the most expensive components, but at the same time, there's other components that are very well, very readily available. Our ground provisions, you know, and I have fell back in love with our ground provisions since 2018. They are of value, all right? And I remember coming across this book here. It's a book, The Best Caribbean Foods to Combat Chronic Diseases. I'm not advertising for anybody, but I think it's quite important. It's written by Fitzroy J. Henry and June Holdip. She's a dietitian, and Fitzroy Henry, he worked at the Caribbean Food Nutrition Institute a couple of years ago. And he was looking at the different food items we have, and it ranges from for all the food groups across the span. And he was looking at the top foods that can help prevent chronic diseases. And I'm going to call them out here in terms of our staples. Yeah, I'm just going to do the staples. All right. So our staples. So people sometimes get a little confused. And, oh, what are you going to eat? What can eat? And what is there to eat? But in terms of the number one food, people need to probably start to reorient their thinking and trying to incorporate more of these foods. I would like a couple of good chefs to come out and help us in this venture, because we can have a lot of these foods made and taste good, because you want food to taste good. That's just the reality. You want to enjoy your food. So things like the top food that he has here is green plantains, all right? Then we have yams. Yams are a season. Though I had some the other day. It was very good. Bread fruit. What we call our food that will help in terms of our food security here on the island, on the islands. All right. Excellent food. Actually, it was referred to in one of our professional magazines as an exotic, one of the most healthy and exotic foods. Then we have things like dasheen, green bananas, fresh corn, sweet potatoes, cassava. Those foods are all readily available and not too expensive, I would think, in most cases. And those are our staples. So people can select from them. Then we looked in, maybe started looking at our fruits and our vegetables. So Shadi would talk a little bit about the vegetables and how you can work around that. But then there's the fruits that we see dropping all over the place. So I guess it's a way too that we probably have to find a way that we can harvest them so that people can have access to them. So when we are talking about this whole food and nutrition topic, it is vast. All right, that's not what people picking up food and putting it in their mouth. It's about everything that surrounds that whole behavior. All right, so almost like that farm to table concept.
Mm-hmm. Honey, I think you made some excellent points. You don't need a quarter of a chicken on your plate to feel satisfied, you know? you don't, the chicken should take a quarter of the plate, but you don't need a quarter of a chicken, you see? And something that other cultures do, you will notice if you go to certain restaurants, I don't want to call names, but you have the chicken is very finely cut up in the food, the chow mein or the rice or whatever it is. So they will call like half a chicken breast might serve an entire family because it is cut up finely in the food, right? As opposed to half a chicken breast serving two people. Y'all see what I'm saying? And then you talked about using your legumes. So knowing that, you know, they just feel like food is not complete unless you have meat. But you can do, there's some very creative things to do. You can do your lentil stews, you know, your chana, your curry chana. You can do the lasagna and the shepherd's pie, a healthier version with lentils, things like that, so that you cut back. And those staples that you talked about, the beauty of the staples, Michelle, is that you can prepare them in so many different ways. The yam, the cassava, the breadfruit, there's so many different ways that you can prepare them. So you can't get bored of them because of the variety of ways. So I'm talking about preparation now. I want us to move on a little bit to preparation of food, the mode of cooking. Sometimes it's not just what we eat, but how we are preparing it. There are much healthier ways to prepare food. So I want to ask you, can you give us some advice? What are some of the healthier ways that we can prepare our food?
All right, I just wanted to follow on from Michelle's comment about getting the chefs out there to help us in terms of how we can prepare these foods in a tasty, variable, enjoyable way. I think one of the things that we do need as a public is to reestablish some of those cooking skills and that ingenuity and innovation in terms of how we prepare these meals. You mentioned the legumes can be done in different ways. So legumes are quite versatile, and a lot of our local foods are quite versatile, and our limit is really our imagination. In terms of preparing foods in a healthful way, we're looking at limiting added fat, added salt, added sugars, right? So if I take a food group like staples again, the way in which we prepare our staples, all those ground provisions are high fiber foods that are going to come with a variety of micronutrients as well. But then if when we prepare them, we add a lot of additional fat and fats that are rich in saturated fat, then it changes it into a different type of meal. So in our preparation, we want to look at methods that limit additional fat. So whether we're boiling, steaming, roasting, grilling, those kind of methods versus frying, which takes on a lot of fat. And I know a lot of people are very interested. A lot of agents have been buying the air fryers now. So when you get your air fryers, that allows you to limit the fat added, the method by which an air fryer works, that you can enjoy the texture in a different way without necessarily having to deep fry, for example. For our proteins, so in terms of our animal proteins, you want to remove your fat and any visible skin. Of course, you're going to buy as lean as possible. And you want to emphasize the leaner proteins more often. So that's typically poultry, fish, and our legumes again. For our vegetables, it goes back to what we add. So again, we want to prepare them with low-fat preparation methods. Let's get beyond boiling and steaming. We can stir fry, we can have roast. You can get the children involved to get them a little bit more interested in eating the vegetables. When it goes, Michelle mentioned farm to table. So you can go as far as to being able to pick your okras or pick your tomatoes from your garden all the way into the kitchen onto your plate to get the children a little bit more engaged in having your vegetables as well. But really limiting those particular additions that can make the foods more energy dense versus nutrient dense, or add those constituents that can contribute to cardiovascular disease like the salt, so limiting that. But how do we make the food taste good now? Because I just took away your fat and your salt and your sugar, right? So this is where our herbs and spices come in. Now, we are coming from a culture where we have seasoning. My mom makes her own seasoning. Other people may make their own seasoning, or they may be store-bought. If it's store-bought, you can find varieties that are salt-free. But in general, buy your fresh herbs. Get your thyme, oregano, get your garlic, get your onion, spice it up with things like ginger. You're limited by your imagination. When you go into the spice aisle in the supermarket, you can find anything from lemon pepper all the way to spice powder and cumin. So really experimenting with different flavors through the herbs and spices. And also letting the natural flavor of the food sing. If you think it's missing salt, you add a little bit of acidity, so you have your limes and your lemons or your vinegars that can lift the flavor or round out the flavors in your dish just the same way as a pinch of salt would. And really taking your time after you've spent your time preparing that meal, that when you get at the table, to take your time and appreciate those flavors. And you might be surprised by what sings on your tongue. You may gain a new appreciation for eggplant or a new appreciation for sabine. Are those kinds of foods that from the outside you may look and think, oh, I don't know, that's not really as enjoyable. But letting the flavor, the natural flavor, the food sing, and then enhancing it through your herbs and spices and your acidity, or even the flavored oils, infused oils, those are ways in which we can prepare the foods and still have a tasty, enjoyable meal.
I love that. I love the tip about adding acidity to the food if you think it's not salty enough. Just the other day, I saw a video and the lady was talking about how she prepares her vegetables and how she squeezes the lime or lemon juice over the vegetables. And I tried it and it was absolutely shell-shocked as to how it brought out the flavor. So those are really excellent tips. I wanted to distinguish, though, we talk about the spice oil, but the spice oil can be tricky. Sometimes there are some prepared seasonings in that oil. There's some little things that come in foil, we like to call them cube. I won't call any brand names, but we like to call them cube. And the other packages, the flavor, the pots, and the different things that we like to include, but they can have some detrimental health effects as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
In terms of those, so you're talking about the bouillon cubes are kind of those pre-mixed blends. So to navigate that particular section of the supermarket, you want to look for salt-free. So there are salt-free seasoning blends that you can find. The cubes and those are going to be rich in sodium or salt. So for those of us who are watching our salt intake in general, or those of us who have hypertension, those along with certain condiments and sauces that have a lot of added salt, those can kind of trip us up. So you can look for salt-free seasoning blends. Or you're reading the ingredients again. It might take a little longer in shopping at first, but once you get the hang of it and you know your go-to, then it gets a little easier as time goes on. but you can take a quick look at the ingredients list. Salt is 4 letters. If you don't see the word salt, then you may be looking for the term sodium, mm-hmm. which is the chemical name for salt. And that can help you to start to navigate what we choose from that particular aisle or section.
Absolutely. So I want to ask Michelle a question. I'm going to bring you in on the conversation. No, because a lot of the times people say, well, I eat pretty healthy. They talk about they have their salads and, you know, they have their, you know, their grocery provisions and so forth, but they fall down in the snacking. They, you know, they binge on the chocolates and donuts and different things. So I want you to help us to understand how we can make some better decisions in terms of our snacking.
Okay, but before we get into that question in terms of snacking, I just wanted to add a little bit to Shade's comment, which I thought was a very useful comment that people can benefit from, because, you know, we don't want people to go away thinking that the food decision or the food behavior or is just only about what you really, you know, just taking up food and eating it. We want people to understand that there's a whole gamut of things that go into this whole eating experience. So one of the things that she mentioned that I kind of like, and I kind of use it to my advantage when there was some extra weight that really shouldn't have been there due to the situation. But she talked about, you know, people actually sitting down and actually pretty much savoring the foods and so forth. And I thought that was very important because that brings us to that whole concept of really being invested in the food behavior. So that whole idea of, you know, enjoying and mindful eating and really making this food decision and taking this food decision seriously. And it works in terms of helping you to even with your intake, your intake as it relates to what you consume. So the whole notion that, and I'm sure that many people would have heard this, you know, that people say, okay, you know, it's better to eat slowly. We're not saying that take 50, you know, have to eat 250 times. But what we're saying is that, you know, you put some effort into or some feeling into the experience, take your time, enjoy that food, and actually the slower you eat, the better it's for you, all right? Because what it does is it helps. We know that the eating behavior is controlled by our brain, the hypothalamus. And what it does is that, you know, 20 minutes in, the signal can get from your tummy to your brain that you're full and you stop eating. So it even helps in terms of the amount of food you eat. So enjoy being mindful about your food decision, eating slower, savoring your food, enjoying it, taking time to sit and eat and be very deliberate about that food behavior can really help in terms of your portion control as well. All right, so I just want to mention that. In terms of snacking, that's an interesting one. Obviously, when you talk to us as dietitians, you're going to hear us go more so for the whole foods, all right? And pretty much trying to at least get him one or two of those there, kind of principles. So in terms of snacking choices, you're asking that what people can have a snack? That's what you're... Okay.
Yeah, some suggestions for
all right, some suggestions. So I'm going to try to include a couple. You can't go wrong with fruit. All right, that's the one you can't go wrong with at all. All right, you have your nuts and seeds out there, so your unsalted nuts, your seeds, they're good choices as well. Things like yogurt, that's a good snack as well. All right, popcorn is not a bad choice. You can have crackers with, let's say, another protein, so crackers with cheese, a smaller portion, of course, that you would have if you have it for breakfast. You can have crackers with, when I talk about cheese, I'm talking more of a low-fat cheese. You can have peanut butter there. You can have sardines. You can have tuna. You know, any protein item, any lean protein item can go along with your crackers. You can have a small sandwich or half of a sandwich. So you can have some, you know, if you want to get a little snobbish about food, you can have your vegetables and some sort of dip. You know, that could be a good snack to munch on. So, you know, those choices are endless. I think I gave you about 6 or 7. So how about those? Those are some of the ideas that you can have in terms of your snack choices.
Right. Michelle called the veggies with the dip snobbish.
If people want to think about that way, well, yes. But, you know, they're enjoyable. The raw vegetables, they can be quite enjoyable with the right dip.
Yeah, that's, you know, honestly, vegetables with dip, that's a great idea for children. You know, yes. They put in whether it's with some peanut butter or, you know, you can vary it. And you have some really good ideas. Shadi, you had any that you wanted to throw in?
Not quite. Michelle was so comprehensive. I was headed for the vegetables and dip if she hadn't mentioned it, to be honest. But I would encourage people to view snacking as an opportunity to get in some of those foods that may be missing. Because I always tell patients that in dietitian land, a snack is a small meal. Because of course we grew up thinking of a snack as something else, something that comes in a package. Absolutely. So you may have some patients who may realize, you know, I don't really eat much fruit. So you can take snacking as an opportunity to get more fruit in your diet. So whatever it is that you're working on, you can see what opportunity presents itself through snacking to be able to increase the intake of those particular items. So if you only eat vegetables when you have a cooked meal, or maybe if when you have a sandwich, you tuck a few lettuce leaves and tomato slices and cucumber in there, and that's it, you know, you're only eating vegetables on a Sunday, then maybe through snacking, your veg and dip is a way that you can enjoy your vegetables in a different way and be able to increase your intake and meet your goals for your fruit and vegetable intake each day.
Good. Michelle?
Okay, I just wanted to add, and just piggybacking from what Shadi mentioned, an opportunity to try a new food. And one of the things that we often hear a lot in practice is that, you know, people oftentimes, you know, you don't have the openness. So you would recommend a food or probably would suggest a food to persons and they would, they don't eat that. But then you ask the question, did you ever try it? And they would say no, you know? So my suggestion is really, like Shadi mentioned, use the opportunity to learn about another food or to try another food. You might be surprised how it grows on you. And it's also your opportunity, to really get in get those variety of foods, you know, so that it will lend its way so that you can get a variety of nutrients that can help to support your health. So definitely be open to trying new foods. And our local foods are amazing. I mean, I have gained a new appreciation for our local foods. So things like our guavas and our pomegranates and all those things, they are amazing. All right. So try them, and they're packed with nutrients. They're power-packed foods.
I agree. And the sad thing is that a lot of our children, a lot of our young people don't know anything about these fruits and vegetables and so forth because we are not exposing them to it in the way that we should. I also want to say with the snacking, we talked about ways to save money. Snacks are expensive. Yes, a lot of the processed snacks are expensive and an addition to your budget. And if you can cut back on those and snack on the fruit that you should be eating anyway, that's another way to cut down your budget. The other thing that, because HSFB, Heart and Stroke Foundation Barbados, we did do a study throughout the supermarkets and we compared unhealthy snacks versus the healthier alternatives. And what we found is that fruit, especially fruit, it's cheaper to buy fruit than it is to buy a lot of the unhealthy snacks in the supermarket. I want to touch on beverages because we are wrapping up shortly. I know that a lot of people drink their calories. And again, another way to save money is to drink water, because apart from your water bill, water is free, right? You pay the water bill once a month, but you have access to as much water as you want. So one of the things that I advise people is if you are saying my budget is tight and I can't afford the fruit, start buying the sugar sweetened beverages, the juices and so forth that you do not need, because you do not need them. And start drinking water, buy a water bottle, and let that take you over. You will save money. But I want you to touch a little bit on the sugar sweetened beverages and the dangers of those. I can't have a discussion about nutrition without touching that.
Shadi, do you want to take that? And I probably will add. No, go ahead. Okay. All right. So, I mean, it's established that there's harm, but what we don't want to send away here, because we are the neutral voice, really, in terms of trying to balance out this whole nutrition discussion and doing what is in the best interest. But there is detriment to it and there is alternatives, all right? Because we can appreciate that, you know, water is our preferred source of fluids. Everybody knows that. But at the same time, you know, people can get a little tired, you know, of just having water. We would encourage that daily. Have your water daily. And because when we're talking about fluid intake, we're not only talking about just water, we're talking about all the fluids. I heard you mention that last week. All right. So definitely, we would encourage, as a professional organization, fluid water consumption. That's your preferred beverage. However, you have to provide alternatives for people. All right. And again, our local foods present that opportunity. So we have lots of our local foods that can be made into beverages as well. All right. So for example, I just wish that somebody can just do something with these tamarinds. All right. Tamarinds are there. They are packed with phytochemicals. The chemicals that are there to help in terms of cancer prevention, in terms of being an antioxidant, you know, anti-inflammatory. So those phytochemicals are in a lot of our foods. So tamarinds are there. You know, people can use them in beverages. What I would suggest is that if people are going to use our local foods, they have to look at definitely reduction of the added sugar. That's going to be the concern. All right. You have passion fruits. You have, again, pomegranates, which people are packaging and selling like what? There's coconut water. Do not forget the Marby bark. Not the Marby syrup, no, the Marby bark. We had a colleague out of, she's a Barbadian food scientist, and she did a study on the Marby bark. And she was looking at it as it relates to prevention of colon cancer, and there seemed to be some promising information there. So the truth is that, you know, we can use our food, our cherries, our Bajan cherries, oh my goodness, packed with vitamin C, and people are buying those vitamin C tablets, we call them supplements, where we have our cherries there that are superior in vitamin C. So use what we have in our hands pretty much to help to make our population a little bit more healthy. All right. Sugar sweetened beverages, like we said, we support the fact that, yes, we're trying to reduce those. Water is our preferred source of our fluid, fluids. However, you got to provide alternatives for people. And these can come from our local foods, which are good natural sources.
I agree 100% with the alternatives. And I think that is important that people make them in the kitchen, because you want to know about the sugar content. I know that there are a number of persons out there who are selling natural juices, and some of them have made the effort. They offer unsweetened versions. And I want to big up those people who are trying to help those who are on the run and busy or might not be able to make their own juices, who are trying to help persons become more healthy and offering those alternatives for people. That is an excellent initiative. I want to thank both of you ladies. You have been excellent guests. You are the guest, so I will give you the last word. We do want to know a little bit about how to contact you, and any person who might want to join, how they can join, a dietitian who might be interested in joining, how they can join. But I'm going to give you the last word. If there's any advice that you would want to leave in your closing comments to Barbadians on nutrition, on how they can, you know, make some healthier choices this year, what would you want to say to them?
Shadi, I'll go first, and then you can go just wrapping up everything. So I would want to encourage people to keep at it, because, you know, it's not as easy as people think. Like I said, it's complex. It can be complex, and that's what we do. We help to take the complexity out of this whole behavior. But at the same time, what I would suggest is, leading off from your discussion last week, is just assess your own nutrition needs, our health needs. You can do it. You know whether you are eating too much, pretty much. You know whether you are not consuming enough vegetables. You know whether you're not consuming enough food. And just set a goal. And it doesn't have to be anything grandiose. All right. It might be that, okay, I don't eat vegetables at all. Well, decide, but look, at least for the first 4 weeks, I'm going to try to eat at least one vegetable a day. All right. And then you build, because it will be a building process. So for me, I would suggest that persons can just set one nutrition goal, and it can take time to develop. And once they have established that, then they can move on to the next goal. All right. So that would be my suggestion. Do not beat yourself up if you fall off the wagon. Just acknowledge that you fall off the wagon and jump back on. All right. So that would be my advice. One nutrition goal. And if you can do more, perfect.
Good. Shadi?
Yeah, sure. To follow on from that, it really is a process, and it isn't anything that you will change overnight. I totally agree with Michelle in terms of setting that one goal and progressing through and acknowledging that sometimes you don't always get it right all the time. We're all human. We're all.
Yes, there connection is stuck. Michelle, can you just tell us how we can contact your organization?
Okay.
Oh, Shadi, you're back with us.
Yes, I realized I was talking to myself for a moment. I'm not sure what you left.
Oh dear. All right, I think we've lost her again. Michelle, if you just want to slip in the contact information there for us quickly.
Okay, so we're currently, you can contact us via email, and our email address is our email address is, I'll just give that right.
I think we have Shadi back as well, so I don't know.
So Shadi, if you want to share that, you can go ahead. Oh, there she's
fine. Okay. Did we just put the curse on her?
I don't think the song is back.
Oh dear. I'm so sorry, Shadi. Go ahead, Miss Carrington.
Okay, so I will just give you the email address. It is dietitian, which spelled DIETITIANS, dietitian.bb@gmail.com. There's also a Facebook page as well, and you can follow us on our Facebook page. And Shadi, you are here, so I think you have additional information. I think we're having some information as it relates to our Instagram account and so forth, so you can go ahead.
Instagram is pending, but for Facebook it's Dietitians of Barbados, so that would be www.facebook.com/dietitiansofbarbados. Now, Dietitians is spelled D-I.
So first, DIETITIANS. It's Dietitians with a T. And we always say that.
All right. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, Michelle. And thank you so much, Shadi. It's fighting to be here. We appreciate that so much. We want to remind our listeners, this year we are going with trying my best. So you've heard a lot about nutrition this evening. We want you to take your pictures of your healthy foods, any meal ideas you have, your meal prep, and hashtag trying my best, Better Health Barbados. We are excited to share as a community as we grow together this year. Thanks so much again to Michelle Carrington and to Shadi Haynes. And we want to thank you, Gregson, for being with us, hanging there with us. And we are looking forward to being with you next week. God willing, we're looking forward to being with you again on another edition of Better Health.
All right. Thank you so kindly. That's Dr. Kia Lewis. She was your presenter this evening on the Better Health Radio Show. And she had as her guests Shadi Haynes. I think that Shadi is quite happy it's come to an end now, because her system is giving her a bit of a whacking there. But anyway, thank you so kindly, Shadi, for your input. And of course, Michelle Carrington, thank you kindly to both of you. Next weekend, the good doctor will be back again for another edition. So until then, have yourselves a wonderful evening, and thanks for the information. Have a good evening, all. All right, there you go. Thank you. You're welcome. That's the Better Health Radio Show.